Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. We'll draw the last 5 points from verse 6 and 6, 7, and 8. So listen carefully. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the journey we've taken these now, for the fifth week now of this series of messages. And I pray, Lord, that it has provided, Lord, good material and, dear God, wonderful precepts and principles for each and every one of our lives. For those that are going through this, perhaps a great difficult time in their life, and others, Lord, that may not see it, but Lord, we all know that this life carries enough pain and enough heartache to go around, and before life's over, there's enough of it for everyone. So we pray, Lord, that you would fortify us through your word and prepare us. May we be found faithful, Lord, during those times. Yes, it's wonderful to have a song, Lord, during the daytime hours at noonday, but as Sister Altizer reminded us, God, how much more important to have a song in the night. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd teach us, Lord, how to still praise and still worship and still be faithful to you, even during those dark, difficult hours of our life. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Just a quick review. I want to get right into the message, a quick review. But we have been talking about the idea of being overwhelmed. That's the Bible word, overwhelmed. It means to shroud, to clothe, the idea of darkness, to languish, to cover over, fail, faint, to be overwhelmed, to swoon. We looked at Bible examples. Some of God's choicest servants in the Bible went through times when they were overwhelmed. And we then examined the biblical symptoms, most of them found in Psalms 55. Becoming convinced that you're divinely forsaken. Well, God doesn't love me. God's given up on me. God's turned his back on me. Utter sadness and despair. Believing everyone is against you. Physical maladies. Physical attacks, often with no doctor's explanation. Sleeplessness. Insomnia. Psychological maladies. Fear and trembling. Horror. What the doctors would call panic attacks. Desire to flee and to hide. These are the symptoms. These are the evidences that you're going through a time where I believe the devil has targeted you specifically, and he's targeted you for destruction, and he's trying to discourage you, and he's trying to get you to turn your back on God. When you become overwhelmed, it's not usually because there's just one thing going on in your life. When you become overwhelmed, it's because you are facing usually diverse testings, diverse temptations. It may be one big thing, but it seems like along with the big thing come several other things into your life, and it causes us, if we're not careful, to lose our faith. Now, what is the cure, preacher? What do we do when we are going through these times where we are being overwhelmed? Well, that's where we go to Psalm 61. I won't re-preach these because we have 5 points to cover today. But the Bible encourages us, number one, to kneel down. It's good that these things come into our life to humble us before God. Number two, cry out. And I remind you again, Psalms 143 is a wonderful prayer to pray during times when you're being overwhelmed. Number three, seek hard after God. Start climbing. Get to God. Seek him. Seek his presence. Trust in him. Number four, remember your vows. And we talked about the importance of making vows as the Holy Spirit impresses you and how those vows later on in life will help you during difficult times. And then last week we preached an entire message on the importance of revisiting your heritage. And so where are we at now? Well, we kneel down, we cry out, we seek hard after God, we remember our vows, and we revisit our heritage. I want to cover the last 5 points found in these last three verses of Psalm 61. What to do when you are overwhelmed? Number six, realize, watch this, God is not done with you yet. God is not done with you yet. Sometimes a series of things happen and literally we become convinced my life is over. Well, folks, let me have you test that, okay? Go home and get you a little mirror, or go to the mirror and get real close to it and go, like that. If a little fogged up place appears, guess what? You're still alive, all right? And if you're still alive, it's because God's not done with you yet. Well, I just feel like my life's over. If it was over and God was done, guess what? He'd already taken you. Now, the very fact that you're breathing should tell you something. God's not done with you yet. Notice what David came to, the truth he came to after he remembered his vows and after he revisited his heritage. In verse 6, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. And listen, if God was done with David, he'd have been done with him. He wouldn't be writing a psalm. Somebody had been preaching his funeral. Well, preacher, I've messed up a lot of things. Well, God hadn't killed you yet. He's extended mercy and grace. He's given you life. You know what? I don't know what you can do about, if you can do anything about all that, but I know this. He's given you today. And if he gives you tomorrow, that's another day. And the honest truth is, listen, folks, as long as we're breathing, now check your pulse. If you feel your pulse, God's not done with you yet. Breathe on the mirror. If there's fog, God's not done with you yet. Listen, if you felt a beat, saw some vapor, God's not done with you yet. The testing that you now face, watch this, don't miss it, is equipping you to be used in a mightier way than you could have ever imagined. There's a little bit of dread that comes in my heart when I have to go through a valley, but I'm going to tell you, along with that dread, I'm sorry, I wasn't saved yesterday. I don't have a right to claim immaturity in the Christian life. I don't like trials. I don't like testings. I don't like valleys. But along with the dread, there's some excitement because every time God makes me go through something, I know that if I will stay faithful and let it work its perfect work in my life when I come out the other side, there's something bigger and better that God has to use me for than I could have ever imagined. Now that means you ought to be a little bit excited. A Christian Chinese woman, by the way, true story, Christian Chinese woman lost her son. Oh my goodness, what a horrible thing. She grieved almost to the point of death, a fairly new convert, saved under the ministry of a missionary. She grieved almost to the point of death, finally sought out her missionary preacher to find out what she could do to endure her grief. Now watch this. This man had some wisdom. He gave her an amazing promise. He told her, watch this. I'll bring back your son to you and extend his life if you'll do one thing. Well, she couldn't wait to find out what that was. He said, all I want from you is a mustard seed. However, the mustard seed that you're going to bring me must come from a home that has never been touched with grief. And so she shot out of the church house and started going through the neighborhood and sitting down with people and talking to them. She did this for 1 week and 2 weeks, and then it turned into a month. And after many months, she returned to her missionary preacher and she said to him, watch this. How foolish was my thought that I was alone in my grief. Preacher, there is no home that has not been touched. Watch this. I hope you don't miss this. But in every home I entered, God used my grief to minister to the grief of others. The missionary then said this. If you continue to do so, not only does your life still have purpose, but your son continues to live and his influence is extended through you. That was a pretty wise missionary. One man said this, you must determine whether grief will turn to misery or turn into a ministry. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So folks, listen to me. Realize God is not done with you yet. He's making you go through this difficult thing, but he's doing it so that he can equip you to be used in a way that you've never been used before. Give me the next one, preacher number 7. Remember, now is temporary, eternity is forever. Now look at verse number 7. He shall abide before God forever. Now he says this of the king, speaking of himself in verse 6. That will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. That's talking about the here and now. That's talking about his life being extended and God's not done with me yet. But notice he reminds himself of this. He shall abide before God. How long? Forever. One of the best things you can remember as a Christian is this. Now is temporary. Eternity is forever. Now is temporary. Preacher, I'm going through a tough time. It's just temporary. But it seems like it's been going on for a while. It's still temporary. Because you know what? You're not going to take that heartache into heaven. You're not going to take that disease into heaven. You're not going to take that regret into heaven. It's temporary. One of the best things that you know, the Bible says this. Often, many times it says this. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Now, you know what? I don't know what you're going through. Oh, preacher, this is going to go on forever and ever, and it's never going to stop, and no, wait a minute. That's what the devil tells you at midnight. You know what he tells you? The sun will never rise again, but it will rise. It always does. Bob Jones Sr. said this, don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. We got to be careful that in times of crisis, we don't throw away eternal rewards because of something that we're facing that's very temporary. Henry Ward Beecher, boy, by the way, listen to this quote. It's a little bit lengthy, but I want you to listen to it. Living is death, dying is life. Living is death, dying is life. On this side of the grave, we are exiles. On that, citizens. On this side of the grave, we are orphans. On the other side, children. On this side, captives. On that side, free men. On this side, disguised, unknown, and on that side, disclosed and proclaimed as the sons of God. I think that man had a grasp of the temporary versus eternal. You stand in darkness for a while and before God forever. Take heed what you do in the darkness. Let me say that again. You stand in the darkness for a while and before God forever. Take heed what you do in the darkness. I'm going to have you turn over and look at this portion of scripture, because I think some of you not only need to hear the preacher read it to you, but you need to see it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Whatever you're going through in life, it's temporary. Remember this, eternity is forever. I don't want to react improperly during this temporary trial in such a way that would make me ashamed as I stand before God in all of eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 8. We are troubled on every side. This is good for us to read so that we are reminded we're not by ourselves. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, for the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with him for all things, for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Folks, listen to me. Don't faint. Don't faint. Listen to this. For this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, verse number 17, some of you need to underline and draw a star beside it and put an arrow beside it and keep it for the future. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, when I'm going through a dark valley, you know what? I can get so fixated on my problems that I decide, you know what? I'm going to quit this, and it's no use, and God doesn't love me, and I have, you know, send out the invitations, and everybody come to my pity party. Or I can say, you know what? This is temporary. And you know what? I don't want to do anything in this temporary testing that's going to cause me to be ashamed when I stand before God in all of eternity. Live your life. Watch this. I think it was Pastor Bob Ross that used to say this. Live your life with an eye on the judgment seat. Do not sacrifice the joy of hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because of a few days of testings and temptation. Let me give you another one. Number 8, preacher, what do I do when I feel overwhelmed? Well, you want to make sure that you realize that God's not done with you, and then you remember what you're going through. It's temporary. Eternity is forever. Okay? So stay faithful. Number 8, and this is important. Look at verse number 7. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. In your life, one of the things that will preserve you during times of testing, and one of the reasons that God brings testings into your life, is so that you'll check the balance of mercy and truth in your life. This is one of the most important things. I want you to give me really refocus now. Come back to wherever you're away from and come back and join us. Amen. Watch this. We can help you right now. Okay? You, from time to time, and I, from time to time, need to check the balance of mercy and grace in our life. One of the reasons that I believe that God allows Christians to go through times of testing is because we need to make sure that we have in our life both mercy and truth. Psalms 55:10 says, "Mercy and truth are met together, and righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Psalms 86 verse 14, "O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Now, one of the things that I think is good for us all to check every once in a while, especially during trials, is to remind us of this, is we need to let not mercy and truth forsake us. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. Every single one of us need to be willing to stand for the truth. And by the way, truth is worth standing for. But you know what? We also cannot become so adamant about the truth and so cold towards others that we do not forget that mercy is needed along with truth. You know, you want to do right. You want to live right. But you know what? In the attempt to live right, we're all going to fall short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, yes, in our desire to stand right and live right and stand for the truth, you know what? If we're not careful, we lose mercy and compassion and understanding that some people are trying. But you know what? Just because you try don't mean you always get it done. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Sometimes, I want you to picture this, and you know, I'm not... It may sound a little strange for us guys, but you know, the Bible says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck." I think there's two things that ought to be laying on your dresser. You know, guys, where you put your keys and your wallet and all of that, your change, if you come back and find change, usually mine's disappeared for some reason, and your cell phone and that little place that you put all that stuff, and you come and before you walk out the door, make sure that you have, you know, do I have what I need? And there's my handkerchief and my ink pen, and I got everything. Wait a minute. God says, listen, there's two more things you need to pick up and put on. Maybe if we had a little place where we dropped all that stuff, maybe we ought to just put a little piece of paper that one of them says mercy and one of them says truth, just to remind us every morning as we're getting ready to walk out the door that we need to put on a couple other things. Ladies, you know where you go in your tackle box is, you know, you got your tackle box. And full of all the makeup and then your jewelry and all the other things that really is a mystery to most men about what's going on. And so we just leave you to your own devices and you do all of that stuff, put everything on. And wait a minute, maybe somewhere there ought to be two little pieces of paper, mercy and truth. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, as an independent fundamental Baptist, it's easy for us to put on truth and forget mercy sometimes. And man, I preach truth and stand for truth, and next thing you know, I'm preaching, I preach on hell and glad it's there, you know. And wait a minute. That's not how God is. That's not how God is. And if you're not careful, you know what? You can preach so much truth, and I'm all for preaching truth. But you can preach so much truth, you forget that, you know what? Every single one of us, watch it. Every single one of us are in need of a little mercy from time to time. Amen. Parents, I want you to stand for the truth, and I want you to point your kids to the truth, but you know what? They're not always going to do right. And you know what? They're going to need some mercy from time to time, just like you need mercy from time to time. They're going to need a little mercy from time to time. But then I realize I'm lacking mercy, and so what I do sometimes is I go and I pick up the mercy and put it on, and I forget the truth. Now, folks, listen to me. We can be so merciful and so merciful and so merciful that pretty soon we don't stand for anything. And if you pick up mercy and you don't pick up truth, pretty soon you'll be a liberal. I mean, you'll be a compromiser. You'll be one of these everything and anything goes. Young people, listen to me. You need truth, but you also need mercy. And you need mercy, but you also need truth. And you know what? Let me just share this, and I want to try to give it to you. But something about going through a trial just takes those two arenas of our life and kind of brings it to the forefront. Let me read something to you here. God allows us to be overwhelmed, I think, for two great reasons. Number one, He wants us to learn more about His mercy. Number two, He wants us to embrace some great truth. Now, if you'll take those two things, when you're being overwhelmed, when you're going through a dark, deep valley, usually God's trying to teach you more about His mercy. And He's also trying to teach you at least one great truth. Most of the time when you come out of a valley, you ought to have a great truth that you didn't have become. Maybe you knew it, but it wasn't yours. And now it's, you know what I'm talking about? You can know a truth, but it's not yours until you go through something. All of a sudden, now it's yours. I think out of everything that you go through in life, you ought to say this: God, teach me something that I need to know. Give me a truth that I've failed to see or failed to make mine. And then as you go through a trial, I think this kind of happens normally and naturally. But you know what? Watch this. Hey, you go through a hard time, and if you've done it recently, and you come out the other side, and then you look over and a brother or sister's going through a hard time, all of a sudden you got a lot more compassion for them than you would have had if you hadn't just gone through a tough time. And so I think one of the reasons that God allows us Christians, especially those of us, and I'm not talking about just full-time preachers, I'm talking about anybody involved in ministry. If you're ministering to people, God is going to allow you to go through some trials and testings. You know why? Because it keeps your heart tender towards other people that are going through trials and testings. You know, hey, if you've never wanted financially, if you've never really gone through a tough, hard time financially, you probably don't have much compassion for people that are. I mean, you probably don't. You know, but if you have, I mean, if you've been clear on the bottom there, you look at somebody at the bottom, you know what? You don't look down your nose at them. You say to yourself, I remember what that's like. I remember that is, hey, you know what? I don't have much, but I'm going to help them. Because when I was down there, somebody helped me. And all of a sudden, you got a little more mercy. I think God continues to increase and allow us to go through things because this generation needs a little more mercy and a little more grace and a little more compassion than we have for each other. You know what? I'd never for years gone through any type of surgery. Never went to the hospital and had surgery for anything. But I did hospital visitation. Okay? I'd have to go to the hospital as a pastor and pray with somebody that's getting ready to go through surgery. Now, it's not that I wasn't uncompassionate, but I still didn't have a level of understanding. Walk in, how you doing? You know, read some verses. Hey, let's trust in the Lord. Let's pray and pray with them. And they'd go off to surgery. And I'd wait in the waiting room, but I'd never been back there. But you know what, folks? I've been through a couple surgeries now. And you know what? When I walk in a hospital room now, I know what it's like to have been in there. I know what it's like to get to go through the surgery process. I mean, the first surgery I went through, I thought afterwards I wasn't going to be qualified for the ministry anymore. I mean, I really thought I was going to have to come and resign Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, what they make you go through just to get ready for the surgery, I mean, you know, when I'm not going into the detail, but when you're being wheeled to the operating room And the only thing you're wearing is nylons, a dress, and a hairnet. That's not even the surgery. That's just getting ready to go into the surgery. I said, I can't be a Baptist preacher. I mean, you know, I've wore nylons and a dress and a hairnet. How can I ever stand behind the pulpit again, you know? I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you never gone through it, you know, you just walk in, have prayer, they come get them, and then you go wait, sit in the waiting room and drink Dr. Pepper and watch ESPN and then come back. Everything go okay, all right, but all of a sudden you've gone. What I'm saying is this. If you're going to minister to people, preacher, here's what we pray a lot of times. God, use me, dear God. I want to be used of God. I want to be used of God to win people to Christ. I want to be used of God to help people. I want to be used of God to be a blessing. And God says this, okay, you sure? Because the training ground to be used, you may not like. Because the only way that you're going to be effective and helping other people is that God allows you to go through some things yourself. Now, folks, that may be a whole different area of life, and you've gone through some things that I haven't gone through, and I've gone through some things that you haven't gone through, but I'm going to tell you, one of the great things about the assembly is this. Almost anybody in this church that's going through something, somebody else in this church has been through it. And if you hear they're going through it, watch this. You don't have to ask the preacher's permission. Go minister to that person. I'm serious. Go minister to them. Do it in the spirit of love. Do it in the spirit of Christ. But good night. One of the great things about the assembly is, listen, you know what? I've at times called people in this church and said, hey, I'm ministering to this person because of this arena, this area of their life, but I've never gone through that. I know you have. Would you contact them? Would you talk to them? Would you go pray with them? Now listen to me, folks. There's something about, like, preacher, I'm so tired of the trials and testing. I don't want to go through another valley. But if you don't go through it, how are you going to minister? And God's getting you ready for something. Now, folks, listen to me. He's teaching you some mercy. He's teaching you a great truth. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Preacher, how do I overcome? How do I get through those times where I'm overwhelmed? Number nine, let me give you number nine. Start singing. Look at verse number 8. So will I sing praise unto him, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Now, those of you that know verse number 2, you know that? From the end, you want to sing it with me? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Cry unto thee, cry unto thee. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, higher than I, higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, when my heart is overwhelmed. You say, preacher, wait a minute, I don't feel like singing. The Bible doesn't say to sing. If you feel like singing, it says sing. Well, I had one guy tell me this. He said, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, you know, and if I don't feel like singing, I think it's hypocritical to sing. And I just looked at him like he'd lost his mind. I said, brother, most of the time when I sing, I don't feel like singing. But as I sing, you know what? God uses a song to minister to my heart. And by the time I go through a little bit of singing, then I feel like singing. You know what we do? We don't obey God if we feel like it. We obey God and then we get to feeling like it. Matter of fact, Sister Lauren, I'm just going to have you come up here. Listen, there's a whole... Do you hear what Brother Hamlin said? There's a whole... Turn to page 96. Everybody grab a songbook. There's a whole section of our songbook that's dedicated to songs that are written just to encourage people that are going through tough times. If you go to the back of the songbook in the index, or what do you call it back here in the back, whatever that is. Yeah, top the index. They've got alphabetical order, general index, but in the back of your songbook, they have topical index. And you look for comforting song. Let's page number 96. You know how to play this, don't you? Let's sing at least the first verse of this, all right?
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cold flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along.
Now, are you thinking about the words? Are you letting it minister to you?
Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night seasons and all the day.
How about number 97? I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. Give me an introduction on that.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to...
Now, I know these songs are a blessing when you're in a congregation, you're singing them together, but I'm promise you this, when you're being overwhelmed and you get you a songbook and you set, go to somewhere to a room and you sing these songs with tears streaming down your eyes and you're listening to the words, let me tell you something. You know what David says? I'm going to sing. The devil says, don't sing. You don't have anything to sing about. He said, I'm going to sing anyway. I'm going to sing until God touches something in my heart, touches something in my soul. Let's sing that second verse.
I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need. Bless me now, my Savior. I come to...
Turn to page number 100. Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Give me an introduction. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. Ready?
Day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest.
That second verse, listen to it.
Every day, the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour.
Come on now.
All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of His child and treasure, is a charge that on Himself He laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me.
The protection of His child, that's you, and what? That's you! His child and treasure. Watch this. Is a charge that on Himself, He like, look right up here. I'm going to help some of you, and you can either get the help and take the help, or you can ignore the help, because I can't help you if you won't be helped. But people get melancholic, they get down, they go through a tough time. You know what they do? They go turn on their country western music, which has got to be the most depressing music in the entire United States of America. Well, don't talk about my country western. Why don't you turn to God instead of the world for some comfort? See, you're going through a tough time and you run from the comfort that God gives you through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and you go listen to the devil's junk and you feel more depressed at the end of that, then listen, why don't you decide you're going to grab a songbook and open it up and start singing until God does something in your heart. Let's sing that third verse. That was free, by the way. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from our Father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promise. 102, let's sing it. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Here we go. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me. Woo! Come on now. I don't know what's going on, but you let him hide you and put you in the cleft and cover you with his hand, you're going to be okay. Or if you don't like that place, you can go under his wings. I am safely abiding, 103, through the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. Under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings my soul shall abide, safely abide for. I mean, you know what? I mean, the devil's got you down and all this stuff's coming to your life and he's pounding you and pounding you. And you know what? He gets you to thinking God's forsaken me and God's given up on me and nobody likes me and everybody's against me. And you know what? You bust through all of that and grab a hymn book and you start singing this song and it reminds you of these truths that God says, you know what? The devil's a liar. You know what? Everything he's telling you is a lie. And you know what? I got you under my wing. Listen, folks, we may not be able to find God at times or seem not to be able to find him, but he's never lost us. He knows where we're at. I'm having some fun. Let's sing 115, all right? 115. Ah, Jesus don't care. God doesn't care about you. Nobody cares. What a lie. What a lie. Let's sing this song. Here we go. It'll remind us.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Let's look back in verse 2.
All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe.
What did he do?
Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me. And he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for.
119, say, preacher, I'm in this storm, I'm in this valley, it's never going to end, it's never going to get over. I mean, I'm in a hurricane situation, it's never going to pass, it's never going to pass. Page 119. You better sing this song then. I mean, this is a good one. Here we go.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storms howled above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
It's going to pass by. It's going to pass by.
Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast. Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes.
Now you can go running to Miss Taylor Swift if you want to, young people, every time you're going through something. But I'm going to tell you something. She ain't ever wrote or sung anything that's going to help you like what you're hearing right here. Matter of fact, she'll point you in the wrong direction. She'll tell you to do the wrong thing. She'll give you bad counsel. Come on now. You got to decide. Are you going to listen? It's crazy. Christian people. They're wanting to live for the Lord. And then they seem like they're always burdened down. But you come to church and we'll sing four songs on Sunday, which is never going to counteract the 500 songs you listen to that tell you the exact opposite through all the week. Well, it doesn't matter what I listen to. Well, how you doing? Are you living the victorious Christian life? I mean, you know what David said here? He said this. He said, listen, so will I sing praise unto thy name. This is the same man that said in verse number 2, my heart's overwhelmed. So what did he say? You know what? I'm as down as you can get. But I'm gonna sing. And he began to sing and God began to bless him. Let's sing that last verse. When the long night is ended. No, wait. Did we sing two? Okay, we're going to sing two. Come on now.
Many times Satan whispered, there is no...
Have you been hearing that?
For there's no end of sorrow. There's no hope.
Boy, he's a liar. He's a liar. I know thou art with me. And tomorrow I'll ride.
Where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Look, if you will, down in verse number 8 one more time. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Preacher, give me the last point. Here it is. Thank you, sister. Appreciate it. What do you do, preacher, after you have done all of these other things? What do? Watch this. You do your duty. You do your duty. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I'm glad that... that God reminded us through David that you do your duty a day at a time. Yes, preacher, I don't see how I'm going to get through this week. Well, you don't have to worry about this week. Tomorrow, I mean, good night. We may never see tomorrow. Yes, and rapture could come. What are you worried about next Friday for? We could have already spent 6 days in heaven by then. I mean, some tragic might happen, like we die. Man, wouldn't that be terrible? Good night. Just think of stepping on shore, finding it at heaven, touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial. You know what, folks? Just do your duty. Perform your vows. Do it today. Preacher, I don't know if I can get through tomorrow. We'll get through today. I don't know if I can get through today. Get through the next hour. Just do right. Now listen, folks, when it boils right down to it, listen to me. You know what? Me and you have a responsibility to Almighty God to do our duty. No matter how we feel, no matter how bad things get, no matter how dark it gets, no matter what the devil's trying to do to twist us and turn us away from God, we have a duty. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I love this little parable, this little teaching that Jesus gave in Luke 17. I'll read them and then we'll stand and pray. The Lord said, just listen to it, and I'm not going to make comment on it. We're going to read it, we'll stand and pray. The Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say this, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us, dear Lord, in these difficult days and difficult times and very trying times, Lord, that we find ourselves in. And Lord, as a born-again Christian, somebody that's saved, it's not getting easier to do right. It's not getting easier to stand for the Lord. It's not getting easier to stand for what's right. But Lord, as the devil turns up the heat, and as the devil, I believe, is turning up, Lord, his attacks like never before, I pray, we would be wise as your children. And thank you, dear God, for sending King David and for allowing him to have to go through what he had to go through in his life so that he could give us good counsel and instruction. And Lord, I pray, dear God, for that Christian that's to the point, Lord, where, I mean, they're hanging on by a thread. And Lord, they are discouraged and they are beaten down and it seems like the devil is having his way. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them to get to Psalm 61 and just read it over and over and be reminded that we do not have to live, dear God, forever under these type of attacks and with that kind of discouragement. Even during the times of darkness and in the times of the valley, we can find that song in the night. So Lord, I pray for each and every one that's a bit overwhelmed, and I pray, Lord, that they would obey the scriptures. And Lord, don't let them make a decision during a temporary testing that would cause them the rewards that you want to give them in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name.